And I encourage you, as always, to take notes. I think you learn more when you take notes, whether you ever go back and read them again or not. Just the act of writing it down reinforces it in your life. But we are in a series on the authority of God's Word. And so I want you to write that title down, The Authority of God's Word. And this is our third session. And if you're interested in the previous sessions or the tapes, they're in the back there on the shelves. You can get those before you go. But today's particular message is entitled Engrafting God's Word. Engrafting God's Word. Just like you would graft one limb of a tree into another and it actually becomes part of that. Did you realize that there's a process where God's Word becomes engrafted into our very souls? Let's look at this in Mark chapter 4. I want to go back and review for just a moment a couple of things that we looked at in our last session on the parable of the sower, beginning with verses 13 and 14. Now, we're talking about the authority of God's Word, and one of the preliminary statements I think I need to refresh us with is this. I don't think that you can understand the full authority of God's Word until you have a revelation of the seed. Everybody say the seed.
The seed.
Because as we saw last week, and if you weren't with us last week, you'll see in just a moment, Jesus gives the parable of the sower, where he talks about sowing the seed, and the seed is God's Word. And he says, if you don't understand this parable, how then will you understand all the parables? So the concept of the seed is essential to understanding any kingdom principle. The concept of the seed will help us to understand that when we sow the Word, whether it's in our personal heart, that's the inner life, or whether I'm sowing the seed out there to someone else or over a circumstance or situation, that seed has power in it to bring about change. Everyone say this out loud.
God's word
is like seed. It produces results. Now look at this in the parable, and I want you to mark this if you didn't see it last week. Chapter 4, verse 13. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? It's very important that you mark this or see this. Know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all the parables? So all the parables, all the stories that Jesus told really are wrapped up in the concept of this one. Verse 14 says, The sower soweth the what? The Word. And of course, we went through this parable and looked at the different types of soil. The soil representing the heart of men and women. Now, I want to review five keys, and if you weren't with us, start writing really fast in shorthand. If you were with us last week, then you want to turn back and review in your notes. But we gave five keys of the seed. Five keys of the seed. And certainly you'll be able to add more. These are just five ones that I believe are very outstanding for our study. Number one, small seeds can produce huge changes. We said that. That's one of the keys of a seed, a small seed. And we've all seen this where a seed somehow finds its way to spring up in the middle of the asphalt or right in the middle of the driveway. I mean, it has pushed its way up. We know this, that trees, and as they grow, they can crack rocks. Small seeds can produce huge changes. Number two, seeds always produce after their own kind. So, you know, if you want apples, you're not going to plant banana seeds, all right? You're going to plant apple seeds. So seeds always produce after their own kind. That's very important because there's different seeds in the Word of God. How many of you want the peace of God in your life? Well, there are verses that deal with the peace of God that you need to start seeding into your thought life. If you want peace in your relationships, your home life, then there are scriptures that can be seed sown for that. If you need help in your finances, there are financial seeds, financial verses. So every seed produces after its own kind. Number three, the third key. You must plant seeds before you can expect a harvest. And boy, that's a big one because that, you know, most people want to operate that one backwards. Lord, if you'll give me a harvest, then I'll plant some seed. You must plant seeds before you can expect a harvest. The fourth key we looked at is this. The nature of a seed is to abundantly multiply. The nature of a seed is to abundantly multiply. Aren't you grateful for that? So praise God. You know, if I'll take one step, that tells me God's grace will help me go 10 steps. I take 2 steps, God's grace will carry me 20 steps because that seed is going to multiply in my life. And number 5, the last one we talked about is seeds require good soil. Seeds require good soil. And the reason that's so important because there's different types of soil and we don't have time to go over that, but we looked at that last week. How many of you realize there are different conditions of people's hearts? There are hard-hearted people. There are people who are humble of heart. People who have an offended heart, they're offended at others. People who are receptive. Let's all say this out loud. My heart is receptive to God's Word. I'm open to the seed of God's Word. Now, with that background, I want to look at a parable that we did not look at, beginning with verse 26. This is a shorter one. And in some ways a simpler one, but again it brings out some insights that we need to understand about the authority of God's Word. Mark chapter 4 verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast what? Seed into the ground. Now over and over again Jesus keeps coming back to this, and this is tied to your understanding of the authority of God's Word. And you know what? When you discover the authority of God's Word, you will discover your authority in the earth. I want to say that again. When you come into an understanding that God's Word has power and authority, it positions you to have power and authority in the earth. And it's all wrapped up. He should cast what? Seed into the ground. So everything in the kingdom of God is going to operate like seed. We've said that, but it certainly bears repeating because Jesus repeated it over and over. Should cast seed into the ground. Verse 27. And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should, I want you to mark this, spring and grow up. So there's a process. Everyone say process. Should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. And, you know, you'll try to figure this out. How does all this work? Well, you know, some of us think too hard. Amen? Well, how's this going to affect my finances? How's this going to affect my relationship? How's this going to affect my work environment if I start, you know, getting on the Word of God and begin to put the authority of God's Word in first place? Don't think so hard. Amen? Some of you get into what I call the paralysis of analysis. You just get yourself paralyzed by thinking too hard. Your brain is strained. Amen. Just accept what God's Word says. It springs and grows up and he knows not how. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. And here's the process. Notice in verse 28. I wish it was always instant, don't you? But we probably wouldn't develop very much character. It says, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Man, that parable is just so full. It is so full. The seed of God's Word. We plant the seed, then we can expect it to begin to what? Grow and develop. It grows and develops, and it's moving towards harvest time. Everyone say harvest time. Now, I told this story Friday night, and I wanted to tell it again for the Sunday worship service. And it concerns a lady that I met, oh gosh, years ago now. And she met me at a meeting that I had been invited to teach about 3 Wednesday nights in a row. And so I'm coming in the door, and the meeting hadn't even started, right? I'm getting there early to set up my tapes and to kind of meet the pastor and pray with him and so forth like that. And this lady's at the top of the stairs waiting on me. And she says, as I'm coming in, she said, I've got a question for you and I need an answer. And I'm kind of like, hallelujah, what a greeting, you know. Just move out of the way, lady. I got to set my tapes up. Amen. And so I'm moving up the steps, you know, and she says, I've had all the big guys pray for me and none of them can help me. Big guys, little guys. Okay, I guess I'm a little guy. She said, I've had Oral Roberts pray for me at a partner meeting. She said, I had Kenneth Hagin pray for me at one of his prayer sessions. She said, I've had Kenneth Copeland at a Believers. I had all the big boys pray for me, but none of them can help me. And I'm wondering what you can do. Hallelujah. Throw the gauntlet down, the challenge. I said, well, what's the deal? She said, I'm a smoker. And she said, I love the Lord, but I'm a smoker. And she said, I need you to pray for me and cast that thing out. And even while she was talking, God was beginning to minister to me and speak to me about her. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm not going to pray for you. And she looked at me like, I'll slap your head. You know, like preachers, I mean, that's what we hired you to come here tonight for, is to do some praying, boy. You know, what are you doing? I said, I'm not going to pray for you. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you in the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God on a regular basis? She said, no, I feel so condemned because, you know, I smoke and I feel condemned, so I don't read the Word. And so the Holy Spirit began to tell me what to tell her. And I believe it was a word of knowledge, word of wisdom for her. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, this is unusual because I'll be coming back next Wednesday and the next Wednesday. So I mean, I got 3 Wednesdays, which is kind of an unusual setup, and I'll be able to check up on you. I said, I want you to read the Word like you've never read the Word of God before. Well, what was I saying to her? I was saying just what we read. I want you to plant the seed of God's kingdom in your life, because I know if you'll do that, it'll begin to germinate. It'll begin to spring up. Maybe not be instant, but it will push back that bondage in your life. How many of you believe that's good counsel?
Amen.
She interrupted me. She said, well, I can't read the Word because I want to smoke. I said, I'll tell you what, smoke all you want to while you read the Word of God. Now, see, that just causes religious people just go, now, don't you run out of here and misquote me, or I'll pray the Holy Ghost track you down and spank you. I didn't say that she ought to smoke. I said, if you have to smoke, don't let that keep you from the Word.
Amen.
You know, religious people are famous for locking people out. Locking people out. In other words, you got to get your act cleaned up before you come to God. That's not gospel. Just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am. Everybody say, just as I am.
Just as I am.
So I knew that would be a good deal because I knew the Word of God would have an effect on a life. She said, really? I said, yeah. I said, you know, if you have to light up, light up. I said, now move out of the way. I got to set my tapes up. Hallelujah. So I went over there and I set my tapes up and I had the meeting, you know, like that. And I did not pray for her. I did not feel led to pray for her. I came back the next week. I'm coming up back the same steps. It was in a bank. It was in a bank building, and it was on the second floor, and had to go up these steps to get there. And she was at the top of the steps, and she had this look about her that was not like that, what can you do for me look. It was a look like, I've got a good report for you. I said, what happened? She said, well, I did just what you said. She said, I got my Bible out, and I just started reading. And she said, I just couldn't stand it too much longer and I had to light up. But you told me if I had to light up, to light up. So I felt okay. So I went ahead and lit up. She said, so I'd read a little, puff a little, read a little, puff a little, read a little, puff a little. Read a little, puff a little, read a little, puff a little. And she said, you know, about the second or third day, she said, I just found that I wasn't desiring to light up like I had before. I said, you know why? Because the Word of God was having an effect in your life. And that Word of God was taking root. And she said, you know what, this week, she said, I have gone longer and I don't have a desire to smoke. I said, now don't get off the Word. I said, the Word's your medicine. Don't get off the Word. I said, as you get in that Word, just give it time. That Word will eventually uproot that habit in your life and you'll be completely set free. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, you know, listen, it may not be smoking in your life. And I can hear some of you religious ones now. Well, bless God, do you believe somebody could really be saved and still smoke? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think somebody could be saved and gossip? Oh, the church folks just got nervous. Church folks just got nervous. Now, I'm not condoning either one of them. But I'm saying this, as you seed the Word of God into your soul. I want you to write this down. And we mentioned this last week, but we're going to spend more time on it this week. You've got an inner life and an outer life. Just write that concept down in your own shorthand somehow. You've got an inner life, what I call the inner life, and you've got an outer life. And both dimensions need the seed of God's Word to be sown. Well, what's the inner life? The inner life is your soulish realm. In other words, the inside of me is my mind, my will, and my emotions. And so I need to sow the seed into my own heart and my own life, because I have things that need to be uprooted, things that the Word of God needs to bear fruit in. For instance, let's say maybe you're a short-tempered person. Probably nobody in here like that. Probably no short-tempered people in here. But let's just say you have that. Well, then you need to take some scriptures about the fruit of the Spirit and about the patience of God and about perseverance and so forth. And you begin to hook up with those, and that will begin to give you deliverance in that area. You get anything out of this?
Amen.
I know when I was first saved, and you've heard my testimony, I cursed like a sailor. Why? Well, I grew up with a daddy who was an alcoholic, and he cursed like a sailor. And so I was saved. I said, saved. I love Jesus, but my mouth hadn't gotten saved yet. Are you out there? Well, you know what the answer for me was? I began to seed Ephesians 4:29. You don't need to turn there, but Ephesians 4:29 into my heart. I began to meditate on that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed unto the day of redemption. I tell you, that thing began to get hold on me. That thing began to do just like what we said. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the air. And you know what? I got delivered from that nasty habit of filthy communication by the power of God. Now, if you go about it in self-effort... Oh, Lord. Everybody say self-effort.
Self-effort.
In other words, you roll your sleeves up and you get that battle axe. I'm going after it. I'm going to become a Christian. Ever hear people talk like that? I'm going to become a good Christian. And I'm going to go out there and we'll slay that giant. You're going to go out there and you're going to start chopping in self-effort with no grace involved, no help from God Almighty. You're just doing your own self. You know what? You're going to be one frustrated individual. Because you're going to chop that thing. You're going to find out it's like ivy. You chop it just springs up again. Oh my God, look at it. I'm cursing worse than ever did before now, you know. And then it's like, okay, so that's not the only area. There's a jungle out here. My God, there's a jungle out here. Jesus said in one place, with patience, possess ye your souls. So I want you to understand that your inner life is so important. But you also have an outer life. Everyone say an outer life. And so there's circumstances, there's financial things, there's things on the outside of your life that you need to be decreeing the Word of God over, speaking the Word of God over, sowing the Word of God over. So that Word, that planting, not only occurs on the inside, it occurs on the outside. Are we together? On the same page. All right, now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to ask a dangerous question. How's the temperature in here? Are you cold? The men said no. The women said just make it warmer. 1 degree. Boy, you ask that and you just likely get all kind of answers. 1 Peter chapter 1. Isn't it wonderful that we've got the fans in here now? We just thank Steve and Ike so much for doing that, and their business for doing that. So we're in an adjustment process trying to find where that right temperature is with the fans. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want you to go to verses 22 through 25. We're talking about the seed. Everybody say the seed. And we're going to be focusing here on engrafting, which is another way of describing what the Word of God does in our lives. Verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your what? I want you to mark that. Now see, you get saved, your spirit is saved. How many of you know your spirit is instantly saved? How many of you realize though that your soulish realm, that is your mind, will, and emotions, is in a process of being transformed? A process. He says in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls. May I just amplify that? You have purified your mind, will, and emotions in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See, the challenge is the end of everything that God is after is that we walk in the love of God. God wants us to walk in the love of God. Not only the love of God towards Him on the vertical level, but we need to release the love of God towards others, and that can be a challenge. It's wonderful when the people that you want to love are lovely. But how many of you realize some of the people you work around are not lovable? The only way you're going to be able to do it is verse 23, is that seed that's in you. I want you to circle verse 23, mark it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, underline this, which liveth and abideth forever. Now the term that's used in the original Greek for seed there, it says not of corruptible seed, is the word sporos, where we get the word spore. And so he's saying, in another place we saw in 1 John chapter 3, that the word was sperma. And so the apostles are reaching for every imaginable way of describing the seed. That seed is not an ordinary kind of seed that can decay or fade away. It's an incorruptible seed. And the moment that you were saved, that seed came in you. The seed for God's success. The seed for God's direction in your life. How many of you want the direction of God in your life? The seed for God's blessing. All that God has and all that God is, the DNA of God has been impregnated in you. Put your hand right here on your chest, and I want everybody to say this out loud. I have God's DNA. Spiritual DNA resides in me. It's an incorruptible seed. It's alive. And it's growing. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, honey, if you can ever get hold of that, you're never going to go through life, oh, God, please be with me. You ever heard people pray like that? I mean, here they are, Christian. Oh, God, be with me. That's just as dumb as me driving down the road in the van and looking at Martha and go, Martha, be with me. She'd say, I am with you. Acknowledge it. Communicate. Talk. Don't ask for something that's already happened. And the revelation of this, and it's not that I'm after just correcting people, but I'm after the revelation that God is not only with you, the seed, the incorruptible seed is in you, and it has already been germinated.
Hallelujah.
It's growing up. Growing up to do what? Growing up to change the inner world and eventually the outer world. And what we have to do is simply get our minds in gear, accept that, and start cooperating with it. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass. And boy, we ought to have a picture of that right now, the drought that's been going on. Most yards are brown. They're not green. All flesh. Everybody say all flesh.
All flesh.
May I just amplify on that? Beautiful flesh. Not so beautiful flesh. Young flesh. Old flesh. Rich fat flesh. Poor flesh. North American flesh. South American flesh. All flesh. Everybody say all flesh. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But, mark this, the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. Now, which wagon do you want to hook up to? Do you want to hook up to the one that's fading, or the one that's abiding forever? Hallelujah. I want to hook up to that incorruptible seed that is not passing away, nor will it ever pass away. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. All right, go with me to James chapter 1. Just hang a left a couple pages over. James chapter 1. And I want to come at it from a different way of describing this. I told you the title of today was Engrafting His Word. And I think we're all at least somewhat familiar, if you've never participated in it, at least you've heard of it, or perhaps you've seen a documentary on it, where they'll take a branch or a twig from one tree, and they will drill a hole or cut a hole. There's different ways of mounting it, and they will put it in a different type of tree, and it will actually begin to grow in there, and they've grafted that in there. They also use the term grafting to in hospital environment. They'll talk about grafting skin. So a burn victim or burn patient, they can actually take skin from an area that was not burned, and they can basically move it to another area of the body, and it will grow and become part of that body. Now, if we can begin to see those mental pictures, there's the seed. Also, God is taking Himself, and He's grafting Himself, His Word, into us, so that it is now one and the same. The skin graft He is taking literally of Himself and grafting it into our lives. It's becoming part of us. Look what James says here in James chapter 1. And I want you to mark this one, verses 21 and 22. He says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and receive with meekness," I want you to mark this, "the engrafted word." Everybody say the engrafted word. He says, so lay aside the old life, lay aside the habits of the old life, and receive with meekness. And I must say that it requires meekness. If you're a proud and haughty person and still trusting in flesh, that's about the only thing that'll stop the process. The seed is still there in you, but what's going to stop the process is when you say, "I don't have a problem." Even in Alcoholics Anonymous, which isn't necessarily a, quote, Christian group, there are many Christians in there, I realize that. But even groups like that that deal with substance abuse, they've discovered until a person is willing to say, "I have a problem," the family members might say they have a problem, the relatives might say they have a problem, Uncle Bubba might say they have a problem. But until that guy says, "I have a problem and I need help," he's not going to get help. So there's in this process, there's a meekness, there's a brokenness, there's a humility, there's repentance involved. All of that is wrapped up in here when he says with meekness. But he says receive. Everybody say receive.
Receive.
So it's something I just can't lay hands on you and you get it. He says receive with meekness the engrafted word, and circle this, which is able to save, not your spirit. See, you're already saved if you're a Christian. Your spirit's already born again. Your soul is in the process of putting on that salvation and being transformed. Your soul being your mind, will, and emotions, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So there's that honesty. A person who deceives themselves says, "I don't have a problem." Now, I want to explain this from one of the modern theories of learning. In psychology, they analyze this. How do people learn? You know, think about things we don't normally think about. How does the brain function? How does a person absorb information and learn? And so there's behavioral psychologists and there's different types of psychologists. But one of the theories, in fact, all of them really come down to this, is that the brain, the way that you learn, is there is an electrochemical reaction literally in your brain, which is an organ. See, the mind, when we talk about the mind, that's not necessarily an organ. The mind is what's happening in the brain. The brain you can put on a table. You can't put the mind on a table. Are you out there? And so we put on the mind of Christ. It says put on the mind of Christ. Our brain is beginning to think differently and put something else on. But think about this. If when I look out and my sensory, my optical sensor see, it comes in, we understand this, goes through the nervous system, and it sets up a process somewhere in my brain of chemicals and electricity. Electrochemical reaction is storing that memory. Now don't miss this. It is so awesome if you'll get this. That means that I literally am what I do and am involved in. If I live a lifestyle of sexual immorality, I not only commit the act, I become the act because it is stored literally, not figuratively, it is literally stored electrochemically in my system. The good news is when I begin to meditate the Word, oh, hallelujah, and the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh. We are literally in one sense, putting on the very mind of God. When I take the Word of God, which is the will of God, and I begin to meditate it, and I begin to allow my thoughts to be shaped by what God thinks. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Literally, that Word is taking on flesh within my system and displacing the way I used to think, and I'm putting on the very mind of Christ. Put your hands right here on your head. Everybody say this out loud. Everybody say, my soul, my mind needs help. My mind
needs
the Word of God. I need to think like God.
I need to
dream like God.
I want to go God's way.
Woo! So James, he says this. He says, receive the engrafted. It's literally being engrafted into my system, not only in my mind, but in my brain. I am putting on the mind of Christ, which is going to cause me to conduct myself differently in my environment and begin to become a doer of the Word and walk out what God would have me do. That is so different than in life. You know, going up to a young person, what do you want to do when you grow up? What a question. I mean, as if, you know, this young person is like, well, let's see, I'm going to go to Harvard and I'm going to earn a master's degree. It's like, whoa, what do you want to do when you grow up? It'd be a whole lot better to ask them, what do you think God wants you to do when you grow up? Well, I don't know. Gets them to think about it. Gets them to dream. It's not what you want to do. It's what does God want to do through your life. And you're going to have that by seeding, engrafting the Word of God into your very soul. Let me give you the definition for engraft, or the word graft. The engraft comes from the word graft. You may just want to listen. It's right out of the dictionary, but it paints a good picture. It's when a shoot or a bud of one plant is inserted into another. When a shoot or bud of one plant is inserted into another, whereby it continues to grow and becomes a permanent part of it. Whereby it continues to grow and becomes a permanent part of it. That's literally what God's after in our lives. Go with me to 3 John verse 2, the one we read during the offering. I want to go back to that. Because this verse, again, tells us there's an inner life and there's an outer life. 3 John verse 2 is the will of God for every single person in this room. It doesn't matter if you're a business person. It doesn't matter if you're called into the ministry. It doesn't matter if you're not quite yet sure what you're supposed to do. Verse 2 is the declared will of God for you. I can confidently say that. It says in verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Everybody say above all things. And the reason he can say above all things, you know, a lot of people get upset about verse 2. Well, I just don't like that prosperity verse. Well, if you read the whole verse, it's very balanced. Because he says, even as thy soul prospers. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And here's the catch. Even as thy soul prospers. Now, honey, in that one verse, you've got the inner and the outer life. He says, even as thy soul. That's the inner life. So my soul's got to be prospering. My soul has to be in touch with God. I can't just go out there and do what I want to do and expect to prosper. I've got to have my soul abiding in the vine. I've got to be plugged into the will of God. So as I'm plugged into the will of God and I go about what God's telling me to do, certainly God wants that to be blessed. So, you know, doesn't mean that you can just go put your hand. Some people misquote that. Well, I just believe whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. That's quoted a little bit out of context. Because the verse 1 of that chapter in Deuteronomy, we won't go there, says, if thou hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, Then he comes on down and says, whatever you put your hand to shall prosper. And it's the same idea here. Even as thy soul prospers. So, we've already established this. My spirit is already prospering. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Isn't my spirit already recreated? Next step. My soul, that is my mind, the way I think. I've got to be transformed in the way I think. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to seed and graft the Word of God in there. I'm going to start thinking like God. I'm going to start making wise choices. So success doesn't just come through the town and go, I just found your house, and I'm success, and I'd like to come live with you. That's not the way it happens. Your phone doesn't ring. Ring a ring a ring. Hello. Yes, this is success, and I just randomly called your house, and I'm coming over. That's not the way it's going to happen. The way it's going to happen is God is going to change the way you think, and you're going to start making wise decisions and wise choices, and that will lead you. You will walk yourself into the blessings and the abundance of God. But there's an inner and there's an outer life. Now, we mentioned this, but I think it's such a good, another good illustration is the, how many of you have ever heard of the sinkholes in Florida? They're really famous, the Florida sinkholes. I remember seeing a documentary where this entire parking lot, it was like a strip mall, and they had the Walmart, the Kmart, or whatever was there, and this whole parking lot just disappeared. I mean, there was a parking lot there, there were cars there, there was light posts there, and it was like the next day, the whole thing had caved in. Why? Because underneath, are you getting anything? I'm relating this to people's lives. Well, I just can't imagine, why did he just suddenly do that? I will tell you, when your inner life is weak, it'll eventually show up in the outer life. You may be able to fake it for a while, but it'll eventually catch up with you. And so the focus, write this down, and live by it. The focus of the Christian should be to develop the inner life. Don't be so overly concerned with the outer life. It will begin to line up. Your job is to develop the inner life, what we call abiding in Christ. Focus on being before doing. Focus on being before doing. Another way to put it is this, is put roots before fruits. Put your roots before your fruits. Because I'm concerned that some Christians who might be loaded up with a bunch of fruit, and if they don't got roots, you know what'll happen. You've seen it with a Christmas tree. You load that deal down. Hey, man, if one string of lights will do, 50 will do. You keep wrapping that deal. Keep putting those, and all of a sudden that Christmas tree goes, whoa, and it just tops over. That's the way people can be. That's the way people can be. Focus on being before doing. Focus on roots before fruits. Even as. Look at that verse before we leave it. Even as. Everybody say, even as.
Even as.
My soul.
My soul.
Let's personalize. Everybody say, my soul.
My soul.
Even as.
Even as.
My soul.
My soul.
Prospers.
Prosper.
And back to that lady, you know, who is overcoming that habit in her life. That's really what was happening. As she started developing the inner life through the Word of God, it ended up affecting her outer life. And that's true with every one of us. Now, I want you to write these three keys down for godly prosperity. I want to give you three keys in light of our study on the seed and on the authority of God's Word. Three keys for godly prosperity. Notice I said godly prosperity. Everybody say godly. Oh yeah, there's an outward prosperity. You don't even have to have God. You know, you say, well, he's got a big car and he's got a big watch and, oh, I was at Golden Corral and he ordered number 25 and all I could order was number 3. So how do you explain that, preacher? Well, it depends on your definition of prosperity, doesn't it? What you may not know is he may be on his 4th or 5th marriage. His kids may hate his guts. Everything he has may be financed to the hilt.
That's right.
In my scheme of things, that's not prosperity at all.
Amen.
So everything that glitters is not what?
Mm-hmm.
Three keys for godly prosperity. Number one, I'll repeat these several times so you can get them down. Simple, but very profound if you get hold of them. Number one, the condition of my inner life. The condition of my inner life. And I would encourage you to put a parenthesis there and add the phrase, that is my soul. That's what we're talking about. The condition of my inner life, my mind, will, and emotions, will ultimately have an effect on my outer life. Boy, that is so true. The condition of my inner life will ultimately have an effect on my outer life. That's why, you know, you'll see people that outwardly they're going to church and they're doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden they run off with somebody, you know, and their family breaks up. Now, my God, I thought he was a dedicated Christian. Well, you start poking around and finding out he hadn't, you know, had a devotional in years, and it's just been all outward stuff. It's just been all religious stuff and trying to impress people, keep an image up, and his inner life had long since shriveled up, and it's just a matter of time until that thing catches up on his outer life and shows up on the outside. I will say this too, the same is true, I believe, financially. I really do. I believe that a person who will develop their inner life and get really in tune with God and begin to do the things that God tells them to do. That's a big if right there. Begin to do the things that God tells them to do. I believe that God will rescue them financially if they're financially behind. And I believe God will begin to add His blessings to their life. Number two, the second key. The second key. I will plant God's seeds for success in my heart. I will plant God's seeds for success in my heart by reading, meditating, and decreeing God's Word. I will plant God's seeds for success in my heart by reading, meditating, and decreeing. And we've been talking about that, and we're actually going to have two sessions dedicated to the subject of decreeing. And decreeing God's Word. You may want to add a footnote there. You should also plant seeds in your outer life. And that's the realm of decreeing. But it's going to start by you reading and meditating and internalizing the seed first. So, the condition of my inner life will ultimately affect the outer. Number two, I'm going to plant God's seeds for success. And the third one I want you to write down is this. I will live my life expecting God's blessings and success. I will live my life expecting. Oh, that's such a powerful term. Expecting God's blessing and success. Well, Brother Jason, how do you know I'm supposed to do that? Hello, if you've been planting seed, what's coming down the road? Harvest time. And so if I'm planting the seed of God's Word in my life, I should expect the harvest of that seed. If I've been decreeing God's Word over an issue or a situation, I should expect results to be forthcoming, and that is the harvest that I've been desiring and what God has promised me. And so I'm going to live in a state of expectancy. Most Christians live in a state of survival. Treading water. Man, if I can just make it through this next project. I'll be so glad when this is through. Whatever this is. If I can just hold on until this is through. What a way to live. Why don't we live, get up in the morning and go, "Woo, I wonder what God's doing today. My father and I are in business together. We're in business together. I wonder what Father God's going to be doing today. Glory." You know, these you business people that are self-employed, you know about this, man. You get up, you start expecting. You got to. You get up and start expecting. Would to God that every Christian would live like that. Get up and expect. I wonder what God's going to do today. I've honored God and He'll honor me. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. The farmer doesn't plant seed and then leave town. Hello. If he did that, somebody would say, "Man, you know, that guy's few fries short of a Happy Meal." I mean, you know, it's not, something's wrong there. Something wrong there. Last passage, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. You getting something out of this? All this goes into Joshua chapter 1. All this goes into understanding the authority of God's Word. Because if I can ever understand and get the concept of the seed, which is what Jesus spent most of His time on when He talked about the kingdom, if I can ever understand just the simplicity of a seed, and I think that's why Jesus used it in an agricultural society, then all of a sudden I can understand how the Word works. It's not complicated. Not complicated. I've got to cast seed into the ground. Where's the ground? The ground is in me and out of me. Both dimensions. I've got to cast seed. Cast the seed. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Now, I want you to see this in light of our study. Though it does not specifically mention the term seed. How would you like to be the guy who had to follow up Moses? You think there could have been a little bit of intimidation factor? I mean, Moses, a legend in his own time. Moses, the guy who split the sea. Moses, the guy that if people got mad at him, the earth opened up and swallowed them. And you're applying for his job. It's like, okay, next step up to the Red Sea and let's see what you can do. You're slapping out water. Come on, baby. It don't do a thing. Hallelujah. Next. So I see in Joshua, in the verses we're about to read, I see that Joshua, he's following Moses. I can read between the lines that God is seeing in the man a concern. I wonder if Israel will follow me like they followed Moses. I wonder if I really have what it takes to pull this off and take them into the promised land. I mean, if Moses didn't do it, who am I? See, and Joshua had been a very faithful intern, if you will, very faithful servant to Moses. So God comes along and God just pinpoints and said, Joshua, before we get concerned on the outside and the mission that I'm calling you on the outside, let's get back to some basics and let's talk about your inside. Verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Everybody say, my mouth.
Mouth.
Kind of a backwards way of saying it. It almost sounds like don't keep the word in your mouth. He's actually saying, don't ever let there be a time where the word is not in your mouth. Keep the word in your mouth. But thou shalt, circle this, meditate. There we go. You're going to meditate. You're going to spend time thinking. Changing the way you think will change the way you act. Thou shalt meditate therein when you feel led. Is that what your version says? Thou shalt meditate therein occasionally. Thou shalt meditate therein prior to church service. Oh, I've gone from teaching to preaching, haven't I? But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So, can I put in the Jason Peebles paraphrase? Joshua, I want you to internalize my word. I want you to internalize my word, and then I want you to launch it forth with your mouth. I want you to get every part of your being involved. I want your mind to get involved, your heart to get involved, your mouth to get involved. Ultimately, your feet are going to get involved because you're going to do it. For then. Ooh, I love it. Everybody say for then. Everybody say for then. Now, may I just probe around on that just a little bit, folks? If you don't do the above, you don't get the for then stuff. Everybody say use all the ingredients.
Use all the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. There's been a few times in my marriage that I have taken it upon myself to do some baking. Hallelujah. I don't know, just get this domestic spirit come on me. You know, it's like, oh, I feel like baking a cake or doing something like that. And you know what I have discovered? That is not my gifting. And there's been times I have left out the ingredient. I'm talking about the box cakes now. You can't even mix those up, you know. But it'll say, you know, add a half a cup of this. So you got to add a little something. I guess they got them now where you don't have to add nothing. That's the kind I need. Water. Got to add water. Boy, this is dry. You know, this is dry. I don't know what I left out. It was some eggs or oil or put too much or too little in or something. Point is, the results forthcoming did not look like the box. Women, write this down. If you don't learn anything else today, you've had a good day. Never take your husband grocery shopping when he's hungry. I mean, I go grocery shopping with Marcia. We need that. Let's put that in there. We need that. We need that. I mean, you're going to spend twice as much. Joshua, if you don't do what I told you to do, the for then stuff, you can forget it. See, we always want to get to the for then. Everybody say for then. Now, underline this, because here comes an absolutely awesome promise from God for your life. It was good for Joshua, it's good for me. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Some of your versions may read it this way, and it's probably more true to the Hebrew. Then thou shalt deal wisely. God's success is always wrapped up in His wisdom. How do I get His wisdom? Think His way. So I meditate in the Word, I internalize the Word, the seed, as we've been talking in New Testament terms, the seed comes into my heart, which enables me to start dealing wisely. I want to point something out to you. This bothered me for a while until I understood this. Notice that it does not say, for then God shall make thy way prosperous. You're not going to find it. It doesn't say, for then God shall make thy way prosperous. It says, for then thou. Well, Brother Jason, that's being pretty presumptuous. Not if you've done the meditation. Because if you've done the meditation, God is in you at work. But the point is this, God's not going to come down and do it for you. God's not going to come down and balance your checkbook and pay your bills and go to work for you. God is going to come in you to help you deal wisely in the earth. And most of the blessings that you're going to get are going to be as a result of cause and effect, and that is that you have made decisions based on God, and He's helped you in that process. Now, I love those out of the blue. We've all had those occasionally. Just, you didn't do anything. You know you didn't deserve it. You didn't plant any seeds. Somebody was praying for you. Thank God Aunt Gertrude was praying for me. Hallelujah. I got blessed. But how many of you know we can't always depend on somebody else doing the praying for us? So we internalize, and look at verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Aren't those inward qualities? Aren't those qualities of the heart? Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's authority in the Word. He says, Joshua, your ticket, buddy. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. He says, your ticket, buddy, to the promised land is not your wits. It's not your skills as a military strategist. Your ticket to the promised land is my Word. Yes. And as you walk in my Word will make the way for you. That's the authority that we have. Even more so as New Testament believers, we not only have the written Word, we have the incarnate Word of God living inside of us. We've got Jesus Christ by His Spirit living in us. Hallelujah. Have you learned something? How many of you are going to pursue it and walk in it? Father, we just thank You so much for what You're teaching us about the authority of God's Word. Lord, we thank You that there's a revelation in this, Lord. Let's stand to our feet, Bible in hand. And let's just spend a moment or two just thanking God for the revelation of His authority. Would you do that? So much of this is something I can't really communicate necessarily verbally. It's something that's going to come by the Holy Spirit. So would you now, just in your own way where you're standing, just begin to thank God that you're getting the revelation? Just begin to thank Him. Say, Lord, I just thank You. I thank You for the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge concerning the authority of Your Word. Lord, I thank You that I'm good soil. Lord, I thank You for a revelation of the seed in my life and in my business and everything that I've put my hand to. Lord, I want to walk under Your authority. in your word. Now, I told you to have Bible in hand, and I've intentionally ended just a few minutes early. I want you to find your way to Proverbs 3, and we're going to have just a moment, a short workshop on decreeing God's word. Proverbs 3 is an awesome passage, and what I want you to do, I realize some of you were not with us previously, so let me tell you what to do. You're not just going to merely read through this, you are going to pray this passage. You're going to personalize this passage. You're going to apply this passage to yourself, if you're married, to your spouse, to your family members, to your job situation. And as you pray through this, and as you proclaim this out of your mouth, you are going to be what? Sending forth the seed into your environment, to the outer life, to the outer world. So that's the importance of decreeing God's word. So in a moment I'm going to say go. And when I say go, it's going to sound like the day of Pentecost in here, because y'all are going to be different versions at different paces. But that's all right. It's the word of God going forth. Father, make it very real to us. As we begin to pray, personalize, and decree your word, Lord, I pray that this would absolutely revolutionize their lives, that they would take up this habit in their life. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. All right, I'm turning you loose. Go ahead, begin with verse 1 and start praying it out loud. I want to hear some noise in here. No silent praying now. I want it loud enough to hear yourself. You may have to look on with somebody if you didn't bring your Bible. Begin to pray. Just begin to personalize it and pray it. Hold your Bibles up in the air, and I want us to make a good confession out loud. Everybody say this out loud. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is seed in my life. The Word of God is going into good soil, the soil of my heart. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I can run faster than I can run. I can accomplish more than I can accomplish. Through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. My Bible is my manual for success in life. In Jesus' name. Give Him a shout to praise like you've really got the manual for success. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.